Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's try and understand what on earth is going on. Is there a way forward in terms of South Africa's US relations? How important is it and how negotiable is it? We know with Donald Trump many things are, in fact everything is, but do we have the ability and do we have enough to offer to try and negotiate this a little bit better? Well, Sandile Swane is an independent political analyst. He joins us this morning. Good morning. Awesome to have you on the morning show. I hope you've been well. These tariffs, obviously we've seen them now leveled across the many, many countries, but they concern us less than our own 30%. What does all of this mean?
I think that we have to accept that the U.S. is first of all trying to solve its own financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
The debt that it has in the main, its own financial stability. So there are many great nations, South Korea, Japan, that have not been able to conclude the deal. Now, and the methods of calculation by Trump are a problem. They've been a problem from day one because Trump just puts arbitrary calculations on the table. But the type of calculation you need needs to be able to say, are we getting a fair deal on oranges? Are we getting a fair deal on baggies? So there's a whole spreadsheet where all the items that we trade with the U.S. need to be settled one by one, sector by sector. But that needs to happen. The last time Professor Zondi from UJ said that it's still about 60 countries that have not yet concluded that. Then we have the issue of the non-tariff barriers. And you'll forgive me for saying this. You'll remember from a health perspective, the U.S. has got the lowest longevity amongst the highly developed countries on any income level. They've got the lowest. They die younger than everybody else. Now, part of their queries about non-tariff barriers is that our health standards on, for instance, chicken, beef, chicken, pork, and things like that are too high.
Right.
We need to lower our standards to the level of the American standards. Now, if you are getting that from people who have longer lifespans and healthier lives, I mean, obesity and other things are a big problem in the U.S.
Right.
So to me, before we even get to the political problems that the U.S. may have with us, there are problems they have with everybody else who actually may even have better health standards and even better quality of life. They want to bring everybody to their level.
Right.
So that is a query. So it may well be that the price to pay for meeting the U.S. standards may actually, in certain cases, be too high, excluding the politics, may actually just be too high, given that not a very large portion of the world population lives in the U.S. in the first place. Nations like Japan, South Korea, and many others are high-income countries. The EU has got many high-income countries. And as you are aware, when you combine the EU countries, they are actually our number one partner, trading partner, and then followed by China, and the USA is third.
Mm-hmm.
So we have never, it's just since the year 2000 that we've gotten zero tariffs, arbitrarily by the US, that put us in AGOA. We never asked for AGOA.
Okay, but can I just
think very strategically? Hello?
Okay. So a lot of what you're saying is that the U.S. isn't a great place and they've got their own problems, and I accept that. I just chat GPT'd what you said, and I don't know if ChatGPT doesn't agree with you. They're saying the life expectancy in the U.S. is 78 4.4 years overall. And the key, because I just, the question that I asked it is, what is the mortality age in South Africa versus the US? And it says, key takeaways, Americans live on average 13 years longer than South Africans. So I'm not sure if you're correct on that. But the point that I wanted to get to.
Remember that I compared that to the OECD countries, the highly developed countries.
So, okay.
I didn't compare it to the South Africa.
I thought you compared to South Africa. Okay, good.
I didn't.
Okay, no. I obviously then didn't get that right, and that's I apologize for that. But the what I don't really understand is what you're saying is all might all be absolutely fine and relevant and factual in terms of the US, but at the same time we are still in a position in South Africa that we are reliant on US trade. That's our second biggest trade partner. We are jobs will be lost. Whether we asked for a AGOA or not, we have been enjoying the benefits of a AGOA. And it sounds like what you're saying is that, well, it's not all it's cracked up to be, and it's, you know, America's got their own problems, and that's why, you know, it doesn't really make a difference. But on the ground, it does make a difference. We are going to lose jobs. We are going to lose probably 1% of our GDP. Maybe not immediately, but it is going to have an impact. And the question is, we can ill afford that. We've got unemployment, the highest youth unemployment in the world at over 64%. That's saying to us that we have a very serious problem. We should be trying to trade with the U.S. in the best possible way, as with everybody, but to convince ourselves that it's, you know, the U.S. has got their problems and we're okay, to me seems like we're shooting ourselves in the foot, unless I've misunderstood what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you. You must remember that the trade war between South Africa and the U.S. was not started by us. We've been trading successfully with the U.S. since 1871. All these things, the AGOAs, the trade war, all those things were unilaterally started by the U.S. The question we have to ask ourselves, in face of this war we did not start, what are we prepared to give up and why should we give it up? So the question of unemployment in South Africa and job losses in South Africa is clear why we are in that problem. The reason why we have a problem of job losses has got nothing to do with the Americans. It's got something to do with us. For instance, only last week I was discussing this with an economist. He said, if actually we started closing down the infrastructure backlog, just the maintenance, not even new infrastructure, just the maintenance, we would actually add 2% to our GDP growth just by doing that. And these are the things that we've reduced since Mbeki left office. In fact, after 2010, we reduced investment in South African infrastructure. Yet that infrastructure investment is the one that since 1960 has given us GDP growth and jobs. So for you to expect Americans to create jobs for you when you are destroying jobs yourself by not doing domestically what you are supposed to do, it's unfair.
Right.
It's very unfair on South African citizens. So we must not blame Americans for the faults we are creating in our own country, ourselves, with our own hands. Trump has not done anything to South Africans, really and truly. The damage we're suffering is also related to the fact that since 2012, we were told by the NDP that we must diversify our markets and diversify our products. So we have not done that at all. Then now we want to blame people for squeezing us when we have made ourselves vulnerable. So I don't want us to give the South African government and President Ramaphosa a door of escape.
Right, I'm with you.
From the perspective of saying, why are we not running our economy properly?
Very interesting. I do need to leave it there. We do need to go to ads. Sandile Swana, thank you as always for that perspective. Talking about the SA-US relations, give me your thoughts. 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.